It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. As part of Remake Learning Week, Essential Pittsburgh is exploring two of the 11 districts and six individual schools in the region that have signed on to the Maker Promise, which is part of the White House-sponsored Digital Promise. While the Digital Promise works to put more technology into schools, the Maker Promise refines that to encourage the creation of maker spaces in schools that may or may not include new technologies. Karen Kator is the president and CEO of the Digital Promise and says that act of creating can be very powerful.
People remember things that they make. They remember things that they do. And so maker spaces tend to create these sort of breakthrough moments for students. They help people really think about their own learning, and they're going to remember the things that they made, especially if there's something that they invented or they designed that's different from all of their peers.
To be part of the Maker Promise, a school district must dedicate at least one space to making, identify a maker champion who will promote the concept to teachers and administrators, and then promise to display some of the students' work. Yesterday, 90.5 WESA's Mark Newtbar took us on a tour of the Maker Promise offerings in the Avonworth School District. Today, we head to the smaller, more rural Fort Cherry District on the Allegheny-Washington County border.
Over the last year, Fort Cherry Director of Curriculum and Instruction, Trish Craig, has had a steady stream of visitors coming through her office wanting to know how her district is doing what it's doing.
So we're calling this inspiration plus imagination equals innovation. We've spent a lot of years building the capacity of our school district in human resource, capital, and so forth, because we don't have a lot of money. We have a very limited budget. We have a very small tax base. And so we have to be creative with our resources. I've been writing grants for a long time. I've been in this position for 15 years now, and that's one of my responsibilities is grant writing. And I was the senior high English teacher prior, so I have the English writing background that helps. But once you've written a few grants, you kind of get an idea of how to identify what they're looking for in the grant and how to word the programs so that you can get your point across and tell them what they want to hear. So some of our discussions that I've had, not only within the district, but also as I talk to other school districts, when we collaborate with institutions, corporations, and so forth, one of the discussions is always STEM or STEAM. And we have chosen to use STEAM in-house, and the focus is bringing that creativity and that artistic aspect of STEM into focus. Because a lot of times when our community thinks of STEM, they're just thinking of math and science. They're not thinking about any of the other possibilities that might go with that. So by adding that arts, it just kind of helps people realize that there's more to it than just math classes and science classes.
That mix of art into the typical STEM subjects of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics starts with the Fort Cherry K-8 Unified Arts Program, which includes art, music, STEAM, technology literacy, library, and physical education. Four groups of students work through those six classes, which then allows each of the Unified Arts teachers to spend 2 days getting into the core subject classrooms, like language arts and math. Kara Walsh is the STEAM teacher in the Fort Cherry Elementary School. On a recent Monday, she was in her classroom teaching a room full of kids about catapults, which they were making out of a marker, a spoon, some tape, and a rubber band. With cotton balls flying about the room, Walsh explained her focus.
The ultimate goal is just trying to incorporate science and thinking into a daily life for them and introduce simple machines. This is a building week for us, so some days we're doing computer programming for them, other days we're doing art, other days we're incorporating science, so we're trying to match everything in the STEAM world into their little brains. You can hear the excitement, honestly, but this is what my class is like every day. So to bring this new special to the students at Fort Cherry, I was a gifted coordinator before, so these are the kind of projects my gifted students were exposed to. So now that everyone in this whole district is exposed to this type of material, it's, I think, not only benefiting them now, but as they grow and they move through our 7 through 12 STEAM program, those teachers are going to be able to provide so much more for the students because of what we're doing at the elementary level. We are really committed to scratch.mit.edu, and that's a free coding software that is available kindergarten through whatever grade level you'd like to take it to. So with using Scratch as our foundation, we are then able to purchase more technology that can build off of Scratch. So we're using Makey Makey and Little Bits and Hummingbird kits through Bird Brain Technologies, all with our Scratch programs now. So it's very buildable upon.
How do you take this into other classrooms?
In other classrooms, I basically will meet with teachers during my 2 days that allow me to meet with them, and I'll talk to them about what they're doing and try to accommodate them with either technology or assistance and serve a purpose in their classroom that can take their teaching to a different level that they're usually not able to do.
So. Is it hard to get them to accept that idea?
They love it. At first, I get really nervous because it is their territory, but after a while that they see that I'm willing to like go above and beyond for them and make it easy for them, they get it right away, and we usually have a great working environment. So I've pushed in, and we've done interactive museums in a writing classroom. So they do research on a person that they're inspired by in history, and we bring that person to life in photo speak. So once they enter a picture of, say, Albert Einstein, his eyes start blinking, his mouth is moving, and the students then are able to read from their research and become Albert Einstein on the iPad. The kids love it. They're thrilled. It's teaching to students in a whole new way because we're branding these students as digital natives. They're now Generation Z, and they've basically been born with a smartphone in their hand. So how do you start teaching to them in that sort of way where it's fun and exciting, and it's implementing everything that they already know? Because truly, they know all of it, and it's sometimes hard for us to catch up to their speed. So,
one floor away from Welsh's makerspace, elementary school art teacher Kimberly Harvey is decorating the halls as she gets ready for a student art exhibition. A few months ago, she was busy decorating the 6th grade hall for a project based on a social studies class unit.
Mr. Brooker, every year he decides what we're going to conquer. And like this year, it was Mayan and Inca art. Time period, the civilizations. So we visit the mattress factory in Pittsburgh, so they find out firsthand how installation art affects you when you walk in, you become part of the art. So the kids help us turn the hallway into a work of art. And then they take the rest of the elementary, kindergarten through fifth grade, the sixth grade, tour the students through each part that they build for whatever they studied, and they talk about what they learned. So that way they're using their material.
Is it harder to teach an art class if you have to integrate it with social studies or something?
It is when the ideas, like they walk in, okay, Mrs. Harvey, we want to create a calendar, a Mayan calendar for the wall, and we want it to move. Thank goodness had styrofoam to make the glyphs, to make the numbers that go on the Mayan calendar and that were light enough to glue to a cardboard. Sam's Club lets me clear out their storage bins so that I have large pieces of cardboard. And then we hung it and it fell. The next morning it was on the ground. So the janitors, thank goodness, came in and helped me. They put a bolt or a screw right into our block wall. So now it's still up.
So it's harder work for you, but what do the kids get out of it?
Oh my, they get more because what they learned in their world cultures class, whatever they're writing about, then they come to my room, my classroom, and we look deeper into the civilization, and we look through whether it's photographs or through the internet, searching for ideas of artwork that we want to create. So like 2 classes picked headdresses and 2 classes did glyphs for the Mayan calendar.
Up at the high school, a few classrooms have been set aside for making. One of the classes being offered focuses on making games. With just a few weeks left in school, 3 boys are sitting at a table putting the finishing touches on their games.
What's your name?
Taylor. Patrika. I'm a junior this year.
Brad Sawhill, I'm a senior.
Nathan Klimas, I'm a senior this year.
So tell me, what are we working hard here with the game?
Well, all three of us are making different games, and Tyler and BC are both making card games, and I have a board game. My board game is called Pathways, and the object of the game is to move these little pawns along the pathway to remove your opponent's pawns from the board.
How did you come up with this idea?
We learned about a technique in board games where you can like rearrange the pieces on the board, and that's what you can do here. You can like rearrange them to make different shapes, and that was really interesting to me.
Tell me about how you made the board.
It's made out of Legos. I made it at home. I don't know, there's not really much to it. The pawns, I used pieces from Parcheesi.
What's your...
I took an already existing video game and took the individual characters from that game and turned them into cards. And my game's pretty much a card kind of battle. It's all determined by dice roll, like how much damage your opponent will take. And the winner's decided whenever someone runs out of all their cards.
And what's yours?
Mine's like a card game. I've liked card games for a while now. It uses a deck of cards and some dice. Like I have there's a center deck, a center pile, and a self pile, along with each player getting a dice.
And have you guys played this one?
Yeah, we have.
Creating concise rules, really, like, you have to go through every detail, because people will point out the smallest mistake, and they'll exploit that in your game. So you need to be able to, like, make everything super concise, and just knowing that, like, I didn't think I'd have to go into that much detail about a simple little card game, but I did, and if I hadn't, then the game wouldn't have worked. And, I've always loved games, and just doing this has been a blast.
Across the hall, students are creating a scale model of their classroom in the educational version of the popular online game, Minecraft. It's part of Jeremy Dawson's STEAM class.
We decided that one block in the game is going to equal 1 inch. That way, everything is accurate and proportional and to scale. They are currently trying to build the desks of the classroom, which actually are a bit of a challenge because they are in the middle of the room. So you have to figure out exactly where they're at relative to the wall. So it actually is more of a challenge than it seems.
This is real cool, but how does this translate into something that gets them beyond high school?
Right now, the idea is collaboration, I think, first. Just working with people maybe you wouldn't necessarily work with. The idea of scale, like people overlook it. At first, when you cut them loose, just the idea of one block per 1 inch seems very, very simple. But once you put it in three dimensions, like how tall is the desk? How wide is the desk? They realize very quickly that they have to team up. Somebody has to take the job of holding the meter stick and getting the measurements. Somebody has to have the job of actually placing the blocks, and they end up coaching one another through it. So one thing I'm learning about industry is everyone I know, professionals that are out there, they use terms like, this is my team, and you know, this is my project, you know, these are our deadlines. You know, so I'm trying to incorporate that idea of, here's your project, here's your deadline, you know, and get it done. And so they have that aspect of, you know, this is the task, and people are going to have to step up and take different roles in order to complete it. So from that aspect, the mathematical aspect of it, it's really all there. It's just people struggle with the idea of playing a video game and learning from it, but it is there, especially something like this.
The Fort Cherry School District is also in the process of revamping its traditional shop class into a fabrication lab using grants. The district has also turned a storage area into an audio production lab. Director of Curriculum and Instruction Trish Craig has to pause when asked if a successful maker program starts with buy-in from teachers or from administrators.
It can go either way, but I think it's easier if the administration buys into it, because you need that leadership and that vision for the school and for the district. However, many of our projects begin at grassroots with the teachers. That's who I go to. What do you want to do? And anytime there's a grant that's posted, I'm sending out an email, say, okay, who wants on board? Anybody have any ideas? Let me know. We'll sit down and we'll work on it. And I always tell them, if you find a grant, then let me know and I'll help you do it. Even if it's a $250 grant, that's something. So I think both are important, but I think that you really do need to have that administrative leadership in order for it to be successful and to for the longevity of the program.
Does this someday become standard?
I hope so. I do hope so. I think that, as you can see, it makes learning more meaningful. It helps students see the relevance in their learning a lot of time. And you hear people joke all the time, I never use algebra and they made me take it. But when you go into our algebra classes, you can see them bringing the concepts to life. And then you can go into your STEAM class and you're applying those algebra skills to creating a Minecraft world. So the idea of transfer of knowledge is very important, and we see that happening a lot more with this maker movement because they do have to apply multiple skills to one project. And that's really what the learning is all about, bringing everything together so they understand why they're here and why they're learning what they're learning, because sometimes it doesn't make sense.
Craig says the real challenge is to develop the students' soft skills that will be needed to prepare them to enter careers that today do not yet even exist. From the WESA Newsroom, I'm Mark Newtbar.
We'll have more Essential Pittsburgh after the break on 90.5 WESA.